Pesukah lists as one of the mitzvahs, which has a very significant amount of halacha Moshe Mesinai. I don't think that it's the number one. Tefillin has a couple more. Shechita has a lot. A lot of mitzvahs have a lot, but Sukkah really, really has a lot of them, and a lot of them actually revolve almost more around the defunus of the Sukkah than around the Schach of the Sukkah. There are many dirim deraisa that apply to the Schach of the Sukkah, there are many dirim deraisa that apply to the defunus, but in terms of the numbers of Halach Moshesina, they seem to be more focusing on the walls of the Sukkah. So though we try to spend a little bit of time, there are five Halach Moshesina I want to see if we'll have some time to talk about, but we're not going to give it that long to each one, just a little bit of the kitzer, a little bit of an introduction to some of the basic Halach Moshesina that govern the walls of the Sukkah. So the Gemara is a famous sugya in the first parak of Masechta Sukkah, how many walls you need in a sukkah to begin with. So the Gemara says it all revolves around one pasuk. There's only two pasukim about sukkah. So one is Basukah Station Shabbos Yamim, and the man needed the Masechta Basukah. So the word sukkahs appears three times in the Chumash. It's written chaser without a vav in two of the places, and it's mali in one of the places. And now the question becomes, what does that mean in terms of numbers of the funnels? So the Gemara says we have a tradition that the way the word sukkahs is written in the Chumash is somehow the to teach us the number of the funnels that are necessary. The only problem is that there's machlekes atanoim what that magic number is. So according to the view of Rabbi Shimon, the magic number is four, and he's based on based on Moses and Chaser, and Yeshem Lemikra, complicated sukkah in the first breath of sukkah. But the baseline, the starting number of the funnels that a sukkah needs is four, and according to Chachamim, no, that the baseline number of the funnels is three. So the Gemara says that whatever your baseline is, there's a halacha Moshe Mesinai that one of the walls doesn't have to be up to par. That whatever you think the magic number of walls is, so one of them is afilu tefach, one of them is merely a tefach. The other walls of a sukkah have to be much bigger, have to be seven tefachim by seven tefachim to enable the person to live in. But if you have what's called, according to Rabbi Shimon, shlosh kil chasan uvias afilu tefach, or according to the Rabbanim, it's taim kil chasan shlish afilu tefach. That's how we pass in the halacha that you require three walls, but the third wall doesn't have to be a full-fledged wall, it could definitely be a tefach. Then in the Rabbanan, they said you have to touch it up a little bit, which is a pesach, that's a little bit nicer than that. But basically, that's the din deraisa of three walls of shishafil tefach. So the Rosh in Maseches Bava Kama raises it, she was learning Bava Kama, so anything has to do with Bava Kama, hopefully you'll hear a lot of it. So the Rosh in the beginning of Sechel Bechel Bava Kama, you'll hear this from me in a couple of weeks from now, we'll get to this Rosh. After we're going to get to the second paragraph in a few weeks from now, that's not going to happen, but we're going to get to the Rosh. So the Rosh has a comment that how did Chazal know that the Halach Moshe Mesinai was to detract from the wall? Let's say, according to the Chachamim's view, that your starting point is you need three walls, and then there's some kind of Halach Moshe Mesinai of a tefach. So maybe the Halach Moshe Mesinai is that you need three walls plus a tefach. Maybe you need three plus, rather than three minus, rather than two and a half. So how did Chazal know that? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, was the tradition. That was Halach Moshe Mesinai. So the Rosh says, no, that wasn't necessarily the Masechta per se. The Rosh says, as a klal, but all Halach Moshe Mesinai, they always go to Kula. Halach Moshe Mesinai is never Lechumah, they're always the Kula. Whenever you have a choice of a toss-up, but a particular Halach Moshe Mesinai is pointing in one direction or another direction, so that's part of the Midah Shetani Rosh. That's part of the Masechta that was given in that Halach Moshe Mesinai, they always go to Kula. So here, the starting point is only three defunos, and then we have this halach moshin that goes lakula. So at the end of the day, we end up with two and a half. So that's the halacha. That's, of course, that's the way we pass the halacha, like the chachamim. So that's the first of the halach moshin sinas. Then there's a second halach moshin that the Gemara discusses about how tall that wall has to be. What's the shear? What's the minimum height of a wall of a sukkah? So the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in sukkah says the minimum height is 10 tefach. Not everybody agrees to. How do you chesh down a tefach? What's a tefach? That's far from agreed upon. You can have a discrepancy of 10 tefach according to some poskim, 10 tefach was 30 inches, according to other poskim, 10 tefach was 40 inches, according to some 36 inches, 32 inches, anywhere and everywhere in between, anywhere you wind up from 30 to 40. So we try for as best as we can. We wouldn't build a sukkah that's less than 40 inches. Your wife would probably kill if you build a sukkah less than 40 inches. Couldn't stand in the sukkah, but technically speaking, the sukkah would be kosher if it's a minimum of 40 inches. That din, that 10 tefachim is the shia mechitza, that is not only true for the sukkah, that's true for Shabbos. Also, that's the bare bone minimum in terms of an Erev. An Erev has to be the minimum height of the walls, or the lechis, whatever surface of your walls, has to be 10 tefachim. Let's say, for example, it's ma'ake. So the bare bone minimum that a ma'ake has to be, it has to be 10 tefachim. A lot of people aren't so careful about this when they have different places in the house that they're supposed to have ma'akas built. A ma'aka is not just for a roof. A ma'aka is any place where people could potentially fall off of. So you have to make sure that the railing is a minimum of 10 tefachim. Remember when we built our house here, so I asked the guy, the contractor, to make sure that all the railing should be 40 inches. That's the biggest shiur possible. That was the chazdish shiur tent bachum. So they built some of the railings, they built them in 36 inches. So they didn't listen to me. So where did they get the magic number 36 from? So apparently that's the code in Burgerfield. It has to be 36. It could be more also. But that's the minimum. So they didn't want to waste it. They didn't want to even be mach, even one could show you. So they made exactly 36 inches. So I was always wondering, where did they get that magic number 36? How come the my high, the code in Burgerfield got to be 36? So the answer is they followed Ramosha. Because Ramosha said that's the 10th Vachim. So Ramosha is Vaskin, 10th Vachim. So that's on the town, Lametzchus in the town. From Lametzchus and everybody. So even in the town. So Lametzchus, they must have followed Ramosha's Pesach of 10th Vachim. Anyway, get back to this story. So in Hilchos Sukkah, the Gemara says, how do you know that a Sukkah has to be at least 10th Vachim tall? So the Gemara quotes one opinion that says it's Halacha Moshe Mithinai. And then the Gemara says, no, maybe it's not Halacha Moshe Mithinai. Maybe it's based on Psukim. What are the Psukim? Oh, razzle dazzle drasha. Because the Pesach describes the Kruvim as being Mahaira, Kruvim Persech, Nefayim, Sechim, Chanfeil, Lachapaira. So the Gemara says, Al Cheshbin, how the turns out that the wings of the Kruvim were 10 Tvachim tall. So, and the Torah calls it Sochim, calls it Loshen Tzchacha. So you see that the word Tzchach has a connotation of 10 Tvachim. The Gemara says it doesn't really make much of a difference what the source for the din of 10 Tvachim is. Everyone agrees it's true. Everyone agrees it's the din min HaTorah. It's just a question, is it a pure halacha mashum sinah that means it's not rooted in any psukim whatsoever? Or does it have some kind of a remes, some kind of a mashu in the Chumash? The Rambam has a famous klal, the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim writes that there was never a machloikis about halacha mashum sinah. He said once some of the Tanoim had a tradition that something was halacha mashum sinah, nobody else could argue. You can't, it's not subject to a debate. If you didn't hear the halacha mashum sinah, go back to Yeshiva, go find you're supposed to hear it. Whoever heard it knows that it's true. So nobody can ever argue that there's halacha mashum sinah. So even though the Rambam says that once somebody says something is halacha mashum sinah, the case is closed, so the Rambam would concede that that means nobody could say the din is wrong. Somebody could say, I agree to the din, but I think it's a different machor. Here, there was a machlokes of Tanoim, was the halacha mashum sinah of 10 Tvachim. There wasn't a machlokes, is there a din of 10 Tvachim? Din of 10 Tvachim, everybody agrees. There's a din of 10 Tvachim that everybody knew. From day one, everybody knew there was 10 Tvachim. But there was a machlokes of Tanoim, how do you know it? Was it just Ishwa Pisha and Moshe Rabbeinu, a pure Torah Shabbat with no remes, no mashu in Chumash? Or it was actually based on something that appears in the Chumash itself? So, I'll call upon him. According, at least according to some Tanoim, that the source for 10 Tvachim was also halacha mashum sinah. So we have so far two halachas that are halacha mashum sinah in the walls of the Sukkah. One is the very number of the walls, namely that the third wall of the Tilat Tefach. And number two, according to some opinions, that the bare minimum of the size of a Sukkah is 10 Tvachim tall. What are some other halacha mashum sinah? So the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Masechet Sukkah, the beginning of Masechet Erevin, that there was a halacha mashum sinah called the good. So what exactly does good mean? Good means that you can extend. Once you have a halachic wall, let's say once you have constructed a 10 tefachim wall, then you can go up and down with that wall. So what exactly does that mean? So the Gemara says that let's say I have a wall and it's sitting on the floor and it goes up 10 tefachim and I don't have my schach sitting directly on top of that on top of the wall. That's okay. You can have the schach 20 feet up. Give me more 20 amos. 20 feet up, that would still be okay. Why? There's no tziruf, there's no connection between the walls and the schach. It's such a big break. There's a 15 feet break between the walls and the schach. It doesn't matter. The Gemara says that as long as the walls are situated directly underneath the schach, that's okay. The halacha mashum sinah says that ki'ilu the walls go all the way up the shemayim. So it's ki'ilu they're touching. So even though physically, practically, they're not really touching, but in the world of halacha, they are touching. So that's a din called good asik mechitzah. Once you have a mechitzah, then the mechitzah goes all the way up. What about the other way around? What if you have a good achis mechitzah? What if I have a wall that's suspended from something, hanging onto something, and it doesn't hit the ground? So I would have said the same svara. As long as it's 10 tefachim tall, so just as mechitzah, what goes up must come down. So the same way the mechitzah goes up, it should be able to hit the ground also. So one Tana says that that's what's called the mechitzah teluya. So one Tana is of the opinion that a mechitzah teluya is okay. That you can build a sukkah that way. As long as you have 10 tefachim of solid, it can be hanging midair, and you can have a big, big break between the bottom of the mechitzah and the ground, that's okay. The same way you can have a break between the top of the mechitzah and the schach, you can have a break between the bottom of the mechitzah and the ground. So that's one time, and we don't paskin that time. The Gemara says that we paskin, that's what's called the mechitzah tluya, and that would not be acceptable. What's the difference? It's the same svar, what's the difference? If mechitzahs go up, why can't they go down? So the Gemara says, no, that's a big problem, because when mechitzahs go down, so then you have what's called the kias gedim, that a goat can get under the mechitza. So, what's the big deal? Go get under the mechitza. So that defeats the whole purpose of mechitza. The whole idea of mechitza is supposed to be a demarcation, supposed to be a closing off an area. So the shear that was given is that if the whole, if the bottom of the sukkah is very, very close to the ground, it's within less than 3 tefachim of the ground, so that a goat can't get under there. So since the goat can't get under there, so the mechitza is serving its purpose, then the mechitza is acceptable. But if there's enough room for bekiyas gadiyim, if there's enough room for the goat to get underneath the wall, so that shows that the wall is not serving its function, it's not serving a purpose as an enclosing wall, and therefore the whole mechitza is batlam of vittles. The whole sukkah would be possible in a Torah. That's a we pass in Shulchan Aruch, that a mechitza tli is no good. So the walls of a sukkah have to touch the ground. They're not literally the ground, they have to come within 3 tefachim on the ground, so the gadiyim won't be able to get under them. I remember a couple of summers ago in Kollel, so our next door neighbors on the Moshav had some goats, and there was a fence between us and them, and the fence was broken in the bottom. So I used to try to watch and see how real the goats, some of the goats would have to be able to get under into our property, with our house that we were renting. So Baruch Hashem for Chazal, that it was mechitza tluya, that b'kiyas gadiyim is in fact a reality. So again, there is this halacha mashsina that mechitzas go up, but mechitzas don't come down, unless the only time that mechitzas can come down is if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground. So here the Gemara says, where did this magic number 3 tefachim come from? So in one place the Gemara makes it sound like it has to do with the size of goats. In another place the Gemara seems to say it's a din of lofa, namely that there was another halacha mashsina that anything within 3 tefachim of one another is considered to be as if it's touching. Whenever there's no break, whenever there's a very, very small break between two things, so if it's less than 3 tefachim, we have a right to make believe as if it's connected. So if you have a mechitza that's going down to the ground, the mechitza stops over here and there's the ground level, so if you just measure it's less than 3 tefachim, so then it would be acceptable. That the halacha mashsina says that ke'ilu it's already closed up, and that's not considered to be a problem. So that's the din of Lovud. I mean, I've told over the story before that the first time I ever heard about Lovud was when I was in elementary school. So every year they used to show us, before Sukkot, they would show us a film strip. This is before videos, before any of that. You remember? So they had a press. They had a press for each picture. You had something, had a press, the thing. So they used to show us a film strip of how to build a sukkah. So every year they show us the same film strip, and it had the same one Torah Masorah sent out, and the same one every year, and it had the same picture of a sukkah with the same picture of Lovud. Then 6 months later, before Pesach, they sent us part two about how to make Pesach. So they showed us about Libun, about how to kasher things in the kitchen through Libun. So I remember until I was maybe in 7th grade, I had no idea what the difference between Lovud and Libun was. I assumed that one had to do with Pesach, one had to do with sukkah. I could never remember. One had to do with an oven, one had to do with a sukkah, but I didn't have a clue which was which. Anyway, so this halacha of Lovud is a very, very helpful halacha. This halacha Moshe Sinai, because it's not, doesn't only use in the bottom. We very rarely use it in the bottom, but we can use it sometimes in the top as well. So let's say we mentioned before that if you have a wall of a sukkah that's going up, now you have schach that's 5 feet on top of it. So if the schach is directly above the walls, I don't need love it for it, just say good asik hits the schach and shalom Yisrael. What if the schach is not directly above the walls? What if the schach is over here? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that you can say good asik and then say love it. It means even though there are two halachos mishnayos that are combining together, joined together to make the sukkah kosher, so Shulchan Aruch quotes that that's okay. It's not a problem whatsoever. It's mutl lechatchila. So there's a famous Rabbi Kiveger, Shiva Shevelt, became very famous. Rabbi Kiveger says he doesn't know why that should be so. He quotes some Rishonim who he thinks disagree with it. He says he doesn't know why that should be the din. Kiveger doesn't disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. He just is ma'ira that he's not sure why this whole story should be true. There seems to be a problem, according to some Rishonim, of combining two halachos mishnayos. One halachah per customer, per mechitza. And you can't play a double game. You can't say, first it's good asik, and then it's lovud. So according to those machmirim, so then that would be a problem. You have to be careful when you have your schach not touching touching the wall itself. It has to be directly above. And again, those who don't follow the Shulchan Eger, so then they just follow what the regular din Shulchan Aruch is that even though it's good asik, and then it goes to love it, and that's perfectly okay. There's a little bit of a bell that I think we mentioned this, definitely mentioned this in one year, and it was last year, the year before. We usually pretty much every 3 or 4 years we say the same stuff on Sukkot night. Yom Kippur night. It's not that much to talk about. There's a lot to talk about, but you know, limited for a lighter Sukkot. That we use this idea of good asik by Tzuras HaPesach also. We do it all the time. That when we build an Erev, so you have a pole, then you have the wire, so the wire doesn't have to be resting directly over you. The favor is that the wire could be suspended above the pole, and that's perfectly okay. Sometimes logistically, we don't like to do that because it's harder to check and considering Malagan. So many Erev, like now, the Erev that we have, so every pole goes all the way up to the wire. We don't rely on this anymore, not for a lot of reasons, just it's logistically not, it becomes a nightmare if you end up relying on this. So Mikra Din, you can have a pole here, you have a wire running over the top, and that's fine. So the poles can be very, very marked, but you have to be very, very careful that the wire has to be directly above the pole. And if the wire is off by a mashu, so that's a problem. That could potentially disqualify the entire Eruv. So we try, we spend a lot of time trying to make sure that doesn't happen. It's not always so simple. There's a big machlik, it's a poskim. How do you do that exactly? What standards do you use to make sure that the wire is on top of the pole? So there's a fundamental machlik, poskim. How do you do that? So there are those poskim who are of the opinion that the Torah was given to human eyes. If you take a look, looks pretty much on top of it to me. Looks good. That's it. The Torah was given just to look, and that's finished. That was Rav Moshe's view. And many poskim didn't accept. And many poskim said, no, it has to mamish be there. It has to literally be under the wire. So how do you know? So in the olden days, they used to drop plumb lines, and now today they use laser guns, all kind of stuff, to try to figure out to make sure that it's directly underneath. So most Avrin today are trying to be machped in this, that they try to make sure that it's really, really underneath. Try very, very hard. So it's a little bit of a pella, because since the dinner of Erev and the dinner of Sukkah should probably be related to one another, we're using all the same halacha Moshem Sinai, so why can't we use Lavud in Hilchas Erev as well? Just like in Hilchas Sukkah, we let you get away with a wall over here, and then Tzchach that starts over here, we shoot the wall up first, and then we jump into Lavud, and everything is great. We combine together a good asik together with a Lavud, so why can't we do the same thing when it comes to building an Erev? So we make life so much easier throughout the laser guns, throughout all the plumb lines, and you don't have to look, it's just obvious. You put a pole up, and you put a wire, and along the wire it starts within 3 tefachim, you have to be a total klutz, a complete klutz, to miss that. I mean, if I would build the Erev, I would probably miss that also, but that should be good. That's what the Erech HaShulchan sounds like, that's okay, but nobody does, no Erev in today would rely on this kula. Nobody, we're not exactly sure why that's not true, but the minig in Europe is not this way. The minig has always been to make sure that the wire is directly, again, different standards, what's called directly above, but nobody relies on this kula when it comes to making an Erev. But Erech HaSukha, the Maizik, says the favor, so there has to be some kind of a reason why there's a difference to do, even though, again, not sure what that reason is. This halacha of lavud of 3 tvachim, this becomes very helpful in the schach also, because the din is if you have little breaks here and there in the schach, so it's not a problem. If you have a break of less than 3 tvachim, it doesn't invalidate the sukkah. The only thing is, the Mishnah says that if you have a break of less than 3 tvachim in schach, it doesn't invalidate the whole sukkah, but you're not allowed to sit under that hole. Because lamaisi is sitting on the hole, lamaisi is sitting on the, you're sitting on the avri, you're sitting on the air, you're not really sitting on the schach. So how big of a hole does that mean? Every sukkah has holes in it. Every small schach has holes in it. So the Rambam writes that it's not considered to be a hole that poses any problem unless it's so big that you can mamash fit your head into it. If it's a big gap in the middle of the sukkah, you can't sit under that gap. Or the Rambam writes, if it's holech apnei kol sukkah, if it goes across the whole sukkah, one end and it's over to the next, even though it's thinner than that, so you shouldn't really sit under that hole. So that's the source for the chumrah that some have of throwing schach in both directions. So some are concerned that if you have all your schach, say the old style, like those use bamboos, so if all your bamboos go in one direction, so then in theory, there are always breaks between the bamboos, so maybe that's an avra holech apnei kol sukkah. So some people throw a couple of schach in the other direction. The Amos says the whole thing is a strange chumrah. You always have crossbeams, you always have something, you have things that the schach is red. There's never any avra that's going apnei kol sukkah. The whole thing doesn't really seem to be correct. Whatever, that's what people do. Some people do that. They throw some of the sukkah. I remember when I was, we used to have a communal sukkah in my parents' apartment building in Rivendell. So there was a one of the young men in the sukkah, he was the Bachur's parents lived in Rivdell, and he used to learn by Baron Soloveitch in Chicago. He would always come home for sukkahs. So he would always tell me all the different shittas from Rav Aaron about sukkahs. Remember, this was his thing. So he would always be careful to make sure. He said, Rav Aaron told him, you have to put two poles across the top, one on one side, one on the other side, my height, in case one blows off. You should always have, you always know that was the chumrah. So those who still had the yamazah followed the chumrah, that you have to have a couple of poles just to make sure that there should always be no airspace. But again, the whole thing is very hard to understand, because the way our sukkahs are built, so we always have crossed things, and there's never an avir halacha b'nei kula. No. Okay, so we got a couple of halachos b'sinas here. So we had the number of mechitzas, and we had the size of the mechitzas, and we had love it a little bit, we had good ask a little bit. And the last of the halachos b'sinas is the ofen akuma. That's the most complicated of them. We're not going to spend too much time, just the Rashi bracha very, very quickly. There is a din that if a person has chach posel, a lot of things is chach posel. You can have metal is chach posel, plastic is chach posel, anything that doesn't grow on the ground, it's become a tumah, any of those above will pose a problem. So if you have chach posel, if there's a lot of it, it can invalidate the entire sukkah. So comes the Mishnah and says that you can have a lot of chach posel, but as long as it's against one of the walls of the sukkah, or against all the walls of the sukkah for that matter, then it's okay. Why is that? So the Gemara says we have a special tradition, a special achmar sin called doifin akuma, that we can make believe that the wall bends over. So let's say, this is my real wall, and I have a couple of poles of metal sitting over here. So even though it's more than four tvach, it's enough to ruin the sukkah, but since it's within dalat amas of the wall of the sukkah, so we just bend over the wall, and we just make believe that's wall, and the wall starts when the schach posel ends. So the Gemara says, how in the world, where do we get this from? No one could have ever figured this out on their own. This is a gzeres hakasam, not a gzeres hakasam literally, but halach marsi night. This is a gzeres hakasam, the Rebbeinu Shlomo Kazak, that you can make believe that the wall bends over and you can build a sukkah that way in Shabbos. And that's the principle of dafin akuma. So a lot of us rely on dafin akuma. Very often people who have these kinds of things, they have edges of the sukkah, have problems, they have overhangs, maislach, all kind of stuff. So as long as it's less than dalat amos away from the wall, so it's okay. The only thing is, shechanosh, you can't sit under the dofen akuma. That is mamash a joke. He said, you're sitting under the dofen akuma, so make up your mind, is it wall or it's chach? So if it's chach, then it's chach posel. If it's wall, then you can't sit under a wall, so then you can't sit under the dofen akuma. So you have to be careful that if you have a sukkah that has dofen akuma to it, you have to make sure that people are aware not to sit, not to sleep, not to use that part of the sukkah. It doesn't disqualify the sukkah, but in terms of using that part, it would be off limits.
Can you add dofen akuma to lavud, just like the mechavers make?
Yeah. So some rishonim say that you can't make dofen akuma together with good asik. So some rishonim say that, let's say you have a wall that goes this high, goes 10 tefachim, and then I want to shoot it up, but right over here I have a couple of poles of metal. So the shulchan and machlekes rishonim, can you combine together good asik together with the dofen akuma? So that's where Rabbi Akiva quotes and says, according to the rishonim, we say you can't. So then, that's the problem of combining to Allah Moshe. That was the original discussion. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't speak about combining Dofen Akuma together with love. So let's say you'd have a good asik, and then you'd have less than lovud. Right, you have a couple of metal poles here, and they're less than lovud. And then the Shach Hashu starts. So you want to combine together a good asik with a lovud to help prevent you from a Dofen Akuma problem or something like that. So the Shavur quotes Machlai Zechmer about that. I can't bring Machmir that Shaila. He quotes Machlai Zechmer about is that a problem? Anyway, so you should try to build a Sikha normally. Try to build with such Chachmas and Kunsim. Try to build a Sikha normally. Take walls, take Schach, try to build a normal Sikha. There are more quotes that if you don't have enough wood, you should just make sure that you build a sukkah that's kosher. He says, don't build with all these fancy schmancy lumdish things, you're going to make a mistake. He says, just build, try to get more wood, try to build it. Simply, he says, if you have a choice between making three full walls or four half-baked walls, then make three full walls. Make sure the sukkah's kosher before you start this experimentation in the world of halach. So we'll try to keep the sukkah simple. Okay, we'll stop for now.